is Northwestern Medicine BP. Call Dr. Morse right now.
Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here. I'm lacing up my golf shoes, Doc.
Perfect.
Paying attention to the show.
Put your sunblock on now, too, okay?
Exactly. You can't have enough, and you can't have it too soon. Later today, we'll help Dr. Most and his friends raise money for the foundation through CDH and Northwestern Medicine. And most big hospitals do this, and I don't think a lot of people know this, but it's through the generosity of folks, through fundraisers like the one you do today, that helps pay for either new equipment and things that aren't generally budget-funded, or for people that can't afford to pay who come in because no hospital turns down anybody.
Yeah, and we really appreciate you and Dave coming out and joining, you know, your good friend Chris Smith and Cameron Beckman out there as well. But it's kind of interesting. This year, what we're raising money for is something called Living Well DuPage. And I'll just give you the cliff notes on it quickly because I'm sure you'll know more about it soon. But you know, when we tell people that they have a diagnosis of cancer, as physicians, we're there to treat them and to be as supportive as possible. But really, it's our end of it from the medical side is the treatment and let's get you what we need to do. But we kind of forget that, boy, more things happen there. You know, it's the patient says, well, now what? What do I do? What can I do to make my life healthier? Where's my support group? So what Living Well is going to do is we'll have a kitchen in this house, and it'll teach people how to cook, and it'll teach the family members how to cook. We'll have meditation rooms. We'll have a resource center. Support groups will meet there. Exercise classes, yoga, education courses. So the stuff beyond the straight chemotherapy surgery kind of treatment, it's the other side, the softer side that makes a big impact on the patient as well as their family.
It reminds me of what Gilda's Club does. It's kind of a similar model, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. You know, it's great that we do it, and we really appreciate the support that we're going to get from you guys as well as all the players today that will allow us to do this a little quicker than we would be able to without it.
So it's a fun event out at that dog track, Medina.
Yeah.
Can't get a better golf course. Shocking. But it's a fabulous facility, obviously, and we look forward to a great day out there. There was a news in the health world earlier this morning about breast cancer screenings. Now, a lot of women may not need them. I feel like you told us this a couple of months ago.
Well, you know, I think the interesting thing is what we're looking at with screenings going on right now. Look, last week, you know, the change in colon cancer screening is unbelievable. If you remember when we talked, oh, I don't even know when it was, a couple months ago, when we talked earlier, too, when Eddie Olchek, at the age of 50, was diagnosed with, you know, advanced colon cancer. And, you know, God bless him, a tough fight, and he is cured, and he is doing great. But he never even would have had the opportunity to be screened because he was diagnosed at the age of 50. So the American Cancer Society came out last week and said, you know what, we have to move that. And they moved it down to 45 because we've seen a 51% increase in cancers under people under the age of 50.
So get the test and get it earlier and make sure you're clean and then take that off your worry list.
Yeah. And you know what? And it's unfortunate when you look at colon cancer, you know, it's a disease of industrialized nations. So, you know, colon cancer is pretty much non-existent in Africa. But you come here and you start to eat the diet that we eat and it goes through the roof. And now we're starting to see that, you know, if you were born in 1950, okay, you have a pretty good risk of colon cancer. If you were born in 1990, you have 2 to 4 times the risk of that individual who was born in 1950. So we're seeing more processed meat. We're seeing more obesity. We're seeing more sedentary lifestyles. And unfortunately, we're seeing the rise in colon cancer. So we have to find it early.
Can you retroactively increase your odds of not getting it? In other words, you haven't taken care of yourself, but later on in life, you know, like we've talked about, when you stop smoking, your lungs will get healthier. Do you reduce your risk of cancers, or is that too late?
Absolutely, especially for this one. You know, the big thing with colon cancer and the importance of screening early And screening early, you'll find the disease earlier. But if you have a colonoscopy for your screening, you can actually eliminate the disease with the colonoscopy. The colonoscopy sees the polyp. The polyp can often be removed before it becomes cancerous, so precancerous polyps. And then that should be the flag to you to say, hey, you know what? I have to stop eating processed foods. I really have to cut back on some of these red meats, you know, in the way I'm cooking some of these foods. And your lifestyle changes and get up there and get active and get rid of that obesity, and all of a sudden, boy, your risk of colon cancer drops dramatically, just like cigarette smoking. Stop smoking, your risk of lung cancer drops dramatically.
It's amazing, Doc, the fact that diet and the influence that processed food has on our bodies. Are you finding now, I guess, in the medical field that this might have less to do with genetics now or more?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. Less to do with genetics now. The early, the younger ones, we do see still a high genetic propensity there, so that's one of the concerns. But for those patients we already knew, if you had a family member who had colon cancer, we were going to screen you at 40 anyways, maybe even earlier, depending on how strong that history was. Now we're finding, boy, even people who don't have a strong family history, we need to move that screening up just because of what we've done with our diets.
The recommendation for screening, the colonoscopy, the DNA testing, the blood testing from stool, the virtual colonoscopy, this is all stuff that advances seemingly faster than it used to. Is the FDA keeping up?
The FDA is doing pretty good, but, you know, it's kind of interesting when you ask that question, because the FDA is really good at telling us what we're eating, but it's not really good at saying, you know what, we shouldn't allow people to eat that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're starting to find more and more, as we can test, more and more carcinogens that we're being exposed to. You know, I'm sure we'll talk in a couple minutes here just about grilling foods and the carcinogens that we're exposed to, that we never knew that in the past. And now we're able to study that and find it and find out the impact of that on our health as well.
Stand by as Dr. Kevin Most ruins your summer in just a moment. Wait, no, that's not right. Is that right, Kev? That can't be right.
It might be.
Your barbecue grill and your sunblock, we're going to see how they're all related to your life in just a moment. Back to Dr. Kevin Most. The texters at 312-981-7200 chiming in with some additional questions, thoughts, and insults. Doc, one question which is important, not generally on this topic, but we'll ask it here. Do men need to abstain from sex prior to a PSA blood screening?
No.
Have at it?
Yep.
Not to use a medical term, but have at it?
Correct. Yep.
Okay, and let's see, in regards to you ruining the summer, should I drive into a ditch now, Doc, or wait until you ruin my summer? All right, let's wait. Let's wait. Let's see if that actually happens. Here's the deal. Doc wants you to be healthy. We all want you to be healthy. We want us to be healthy. And it turns out maybe the grill could be problematic. So what do we need to know?
Well, and I do. I want people to be healthy. And you can still use a grill and be healthy, but you just have to know that there's some things that we do with grilling that are not going to be good for you. We know that if you cook meat hot enough and long enough, you're going to increase the chance of forming carcinogens even in the meat and in the smoke that you're inhaling as you cook it. So we really want to cut down that as much as we possibly can. But probably even more important to that, before we get to even the cooking portion of it, when you clean your grill, if you have one of those grills or if you have one of those cleaners with the small little wire brushes,
the grill daddy,
seen those? Yep, get rid of it. Those are the worst. Those little pieces of metal fall off, and you can see after you've used it for a while, boy, some of this metal is gone. Well,
unfortunately, I'm being told the wire brush isn't the grill daddy. Dave, what is the grill daddy?
Well, I mean, it has wires, like most brush. It's a metal brush, but it you fill it with water, and then it releases water, and it turns to steam. It basically steam cleans your grill.
Oh,
hot grill.
So more about the cleaning than it is the rest of it.
Yeah.
Got it. All right, Doc, so I'm talking about something completely different. As usual, you're trying to make cogent points, and I'm sidetracking you.
No, but these small pieces of metal fall off the tool, and they sit on the grill. They end up on the meat. They're so small you don't notice them, but unfortunately, they puncture through your intestines at times. They can.
So I have no idea.
Be really careful just to keep that clean. And cleaning it off will also get rid of a lot of the charring that's on there, which is loaded with carcinogens as well. So using a clean grill is really important.
So the Grill Daddy's better. The Grill Daddy's better than scraping it with a metal wire brush.
Yeah, I don't know what the Grill Daddy is, but he's
it still has metal bristles, though.
Right.
That's, I think. So I'm not sure that...
DeCoste bought that for Dave and me, too.
Should we buy a new grill each time we cook out? Is that the best way to go?
Yes.
We talked about our gas station snack diet that this country lives on and how bad that is. But tell us the good news about grilling if we do it right.
Yeah, there's some fascinating things about grilling which are interesting. If you marinate your food, you cut down the number of carcinogens by about 90%. They have no clue why. They have no idea why, but it works. And here's something that I don't understand. Microwave your food prior to putting it on the grill, and that will also knock down the number of carcinogens.
Well, that's really? Weird.
What
that's
about,
counterintuitive.
What about,
unbelievable.
Well, some people steam ribs before, you know, to soften them up to, you know, in like a steamer before you put them on the grill. That's the same thing, right?
Yeah. Some people parboil the grills or ribs, absolutely.
But but you can microwave. This just goes completely against logic. I can microwave my food before I grill it to have less of a risk of cancer.
Of forming carcinogens, which is just bizarre.
It's very odd. These new diets that are out all over the place when we talk about nutrition and cancer, good thing, bad thing?
Well, you know, it's very interesting, and there's very people that are very set in their ways as far as some of the diets. The keto diet right now is very big for a lot of oncologists feel very strongly about it. I can tell you probably one of the biggest things is if you're going to talk about diets and nutrition with somebody, talk to a registered dietitian. Don't talk to your doctor. We really did not get much training in medical school about nutrition. Matter of fact, we got some of us may have got little to none. So we really don't know that much, and we really don't have – that's not the basis of our education. So use the right asset, which is a good registered dietitian. Every hospital has them. You can easily find somebody, and they're going to talk to you because everybody who makes up a diet book can make their diet sound like it's going to work and it's going to be it. And you know how people are with diets. They're yo-yos. You know, they do really well, then they stop using it, and then it goes back up.
And it's worse, right? It's worse if you lose a bunch of weight, put it on. The yo-yo thing's bad.
It's bad. Yep.
Okay.
Bad for your heart. Yep.
I keep hearing this term culinary medicine. What is that?
Yeah. Well, now medical schools are finally starting to say, you know what? We're going to do culinary medicine. So it's available for people who are doctors already, and they actually go and they teach you how to cook. They teach you more about nutrition than you ever learned anywhere else. They teach you how to read the labels. They teach you, in other words, now that when the patient does come and ask the doctor, someone that's gone and taken a decent course in culinary medicine is able to answer those questions. So it's something that we really need to do as we start to get towards preventing illness instead of treating illness. You know, we talked about what diets can we use, you know, low-fat diet for breast cancer. What can we do also about, you know, colon cancer and heart disease? So we really need to start doing more education to patients. And if we can't do it as physicians, then we need to make sure that they get the right asset to do it.
Well, people who have been a doctor for a long time like yourself, how do you get this information? Is this part of the continuing education stuff you do every year?
Well, it would be, and it's very difficult because there's so many changes going on in medicine that for me to say, you know what, I'm going to take my limited time in continuing medical education and put it towards culinary medicine, there's too many other changes in emergency medicine and in cardiology and pulmonary medicine that docs are really focusing on what the changes are in their field so that they can stay up to date on that versus saying, you know what, I really don't know a lot about nutrition. I should go back to that. There's so many hours in a day, and it's very difficult for us to choose that now.
That's the thing, too, that occurs to me, right? Because if you're going to be imparting extra information to patients, you're going to need a longer time with the patients at a time when doctors seem to be squeezed to get more patients in less time.
Yeah. You know, yeah, you've got that 15-minute visit. If someone wants to talk about nutrition as well as their heart disease and their cholesterol level and their thyroid, that math doesn't work. So we really need to figure this out and make sure that we have counseling in the right place with the right people. because doing it right and educating someone the right way is probably the most important than, let me see what I can tell you quickly in a couple of minutes.
All right, questions coming in from the texters. What do you think of smokers as a grill? Is that a better idea?
Yeah, it actually is, because smokers, when you talk about smoked ribs and things like that, they are cooked at a very low heat mm-hmm. for a long period of time. What we're seeing with carcinogens is high heat in a short period of time where it's charred. So the charring that you get from smoking is a lower temperature and doesn't form those carcinogens in the meat where that protein has been burnt, and it's more of a smoked than the charring.
And then trim the fat from the outside of the steak, remove the skin before cooking the chicken. You avoid flare-ups, and the flare-ups create the carcinogens, right?
Correct, and that's what you're breathing in. So the guy that's cooking is getting the worst of it. And people love the skin on chickens. That's where all the fat is. So people say, I'm going to eat healthy, I'm going to have chicken. Take the skin off, and you're going to decrease that fat, and you're still going to get a great meal.
I just go to KFC, and I just give me a bucket of skin.
Exactly.
Don't do that.
Grilled vegetables.
Probably one of the most important points is vegetables. Vegetables on the grill are the best way to cook vegetables.
They are. Okay.
Yeah. People boil, if they boil corn, I'll say, you lose a lot of the nutrient values in the vegetables depending on how you cook them. So a fresh vegetable that's on the grill, you're not diluting out any of those nutrients, you're not doing any damage to it, and you're staying away from those canned vegetables. So stay healthy with the fresh vegetables if you live in an area where you can find them.
Yeah, the salt's heavy in the canned vegetables.
Absolutely.
And vegetables on the grill, you don't have the carcinogen risk like you do with meat?
Correct, because that's coming from the breakdown in protein, which is in the muscle, which is in the meat. So you don't have those carcinogens in the vegetables, so it's great.
Don't use the same plate to bring cooked and uncooked food to the grill. That's a salmonella and bacteria problem. And if we're not correct. Cleaning the grill with metal and wire brushes, what are we cleaning it with? Somebody said tinfoil. Does tinfoil shred the same way?
No, tinfoil's good. And actually, using a firm, just a piece of metal. So you'll see some of these where it's just a metal piece, almost like a knife that's cleaning it versus the grilling, or excuse me, versus
the brushes.
Metallic pieces. Yep.
So just something that's not going to break down as easy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I still think buying a new grill every time you cook out is not a terrible idea.
It'd be expensive.
Well, you go to App. They'll give you a deal.
Yeah.
Doc, thanks for all that. As always, you've given us information we need to make us healthier and to hate you at the same time.
Hey, and just be careful with those salads in the sun, too. Don't minimize that. Salads in the sun equals bacteria, so make sure those are sitting in an ice bath, too.
I'm not inviting you to any parties.
I know.
Wasn't that a song?
We had joy, we had fun, we had
salads in the sun.
Yeah.
By the way, Denise texted, said she's a cancer survivor in DuPage County, and the Living Well group that you mentioned helped her get through a really tough time.
That's great. That's great to hear that. And like I said, we just you got to stop and think. And Denise, hopefully your family used it as well, because just the support of the family of what do I do now? My loved one has cancer. What do I say? What do I do? How do I help them? All those little things that we don't think about from the medical side when we're treating the disease. So we appreciate all that.
One last texter, a grill mat. Is that a good way to cook? The grill mat that's like a hot thing now? Then you're not dealing with the metal shards and the charring and all that?
Yeah, and a lot of people are using wood planks as well.
Oh, okay.
They're putting their fish on wood planks. And fish, again, is probably really good as well because it cooks a lot quicker than meat does, and you don't get the charring for that either.
Thank you, Doc.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Doc.
Talk to you later.
See you later. That's Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here.